From Brennan to the Boca Chiel, from Lummi to La Push, and from the lordly Sawduck to lovely Duckabush. From Samish to Sammamish, Suquamish to Quilicene, the climate is so friendly, it's a land that's evergreen.
Hello, and welcome to the History of the Evergreen State podcast. I'm your host and producer, John C., and thank you for joining me today for episode 132, The Governor's Mansion. In Olympia, as the year 1908 got underway, Governor Albert Edward Meade was beginning his third year in office as Washington's fifth state governor. With his wife, Mina Jane Hosmer Pfeiffer Meade, they had five children who they were rearing in a rented house in Olympia, replete with a garden and pets, as well as a cow and some chickens. A requirement of the state was that governors bring their family to Olympia and reside there for the duration of their tenure in office. This was not the case in all of the states at the time, though. At the time of the 1900 census, just 19 states provided housing for their governors. In terms of rental support for its governors, the Washington legislature did not provide much in the way of assistance. Governor Meade's pay was just $333.33 a month, and this had to be enough to meet all of his expenses, which included rent. With the state's first World's Fair, the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition, set to open in Seattle in June of 1909, the governor and the legislature agreed that Washington needed an official governor's residence, both to house the state's first families and to provide an appropriate setting in which to provide the hospitality expected of the state's chief executive. The legislature, on the other hand, was quite conservative and frugal at the time. Senate Bill 76, introduced by Thurston County State Senator Alfred S. Ruth, chairman of the Committee on Public Buildings and Grounds and the Special Committee on the Capitol Building and Grounds, became the law authorizing the purchase of a site for a governor's residence, as well as the construction and furnishing of said residence. On the 28th of February, 1907, Governor Meade gave his signature of approval for the project. It was funded with $35,000 from the legislature, which also established a state building commission to oversee it. Furthermore, the act identified the old Capitol site as the site of the structure, anticipating that the then-pending dispute would be resolved, and mandated that the building be completed by the 1st of June 1909. During President Harrison's signing of the legislation curating the state of Washington on the 11th of November 1889, income from Capitol lands, federal property gifted to the state in order to provide income to finance state Capitol buildings, was used to guarantee the distribution. It took every dime that had been set aside to construct and adorn the house. The Georgian design included an entrance in the middle of the north-facing facade, two small rooms on either side of an entry vestibule, and a grand staircase ascending to the second floor, with the kitchen, service facilities, and stairs leading to the basement located in the rear of the structure. The outside was finished in red brick, with white Alaskan marble trim and sandstone copings to complement the entire project. The basement was completely finished with concrete, and it included space for the standard heating, plumbing, and washing services, as well as a convenient vault for storing plates and other valuables belonging to the mansion, as well as a wine cellar and vegetable storage space. In addition to a ballroom with the musician's gallery and a state dining room on the east side, there was a sitting room with a fireplace and French doors leading to a covered porch on the west side, and a breakfast room beyond that. One entered through a vestibule with the governor's study on one side and a reception room on the other. If one continued through the entryway, they would find themselves in the Great Hall, which had doors going to either the ballroom or living room, as well as stairs leading to the second level, which contained eight rooms as well as three bathrooms and plenty of closet space. The installation of an elevator from the basement to the second story was also completed. Although the architecture established a tendency for formal occasions to be housed to the east and family activities to be housed to the west, the governor's suite was located on the west side of the second floor. The design did not provide a clear distinction between private and public areas. Matthew Dow Construction Company, based in Seattle, was hired as the general contractor. The bricks were sourced from the Abrahamson Yards in Seattle, and the lime was sourced from the San Juan County Limeworks. In addition to the Western Marble Company's Tacoma Yards, the sandstone came from Hercules Quarry in Tenino. The cement came from the Skagit County facility of Washington-Portland Cement Company, and the cedar shingles came from the Olympia Door Company. In addition to the interior design and coordination, Cascade Gas and Electric Fixture Company of Seattle designed and built the colonial-style lighting fixtures. Tacoma Plumbing and Heating Company provided the heating, which consisted of a hot water system with around 40 radiators. According to an article published in the Pacific Builder and Engineer, according to the widespread consensus, the state of Washington has gotten full value for any money spent in connection with the mansion, and first-class materials and workmanship are on display as a result of this investment. As a result, the various bids were low, and it is widely acknowledged that a significant percentage of the remuneration has taken the form of a good reputation established through the advertising that is inherently associated with a public building of this nature. It was with great pomp and circumstance that the cornerstone for the structure was laid on the 1st of August 1908. According to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, the event was regarded as a half-holiday in Olympia. The Masonic Grand Lodge of the State of Washington held the ceremony, which was presided over by Most Worshipful Grand Master Royal A. Gove. Governor Meade provided context for the Washington Governor's Mansion project during his cornerstone ceremony remarks, which read as follows. The elegant modern building that is being raised on this foundation to house the future governors of the state in a style befitting the dignity of the position occupied by the chief official of our wonderful young commonwealth typifies the transition from the primeval conditions that existed here 55 years ago when the first territorial governor made his perilous journey across the continent to the advantages of the great material advancement that has occurred since that time. Governor Meade would be defeated in the 1908 primary election, and as a result, he and his wife never actually lived in the mansion that they had worked so hard to make a reality. Construction was completed by the end of 1908, but the mansion remained unfinished and unfurnished until the new governor was sworn in. Celebrations were scheduled for the new governor's inauguration on the 27th of January 1909, which included a housewarming reception. The ladies of Olympia were requested to lend a hand, and they did so by donating furniture and glassware, as well as by hosting all of the festivities. On the 29th of January 1909, the Seattle PI published the following account of the event. Between the hours of 8:30 p.m. and midnight, the house was crowded with a joyful audience. Gowns that were both attractive and expensive were the norm rather than the exception. The welcome hall and state dining room, in particular, received a lot of positive feedback from the visitors. Throughout the evening, an orchestra provided musical accompaniment, and a variety of vocal pieces were performed by local performers as well as some of the guests. Following the inauguration, Governor Samuel G. Cosgrove was hospitalized for a brief period of time and was attempting to recover in California. On the 28th of March, 1909, Samuel G. Cosgrove passed away, and Lieutenant Governor Marion E. Hay was appointed to succeed him. Governor Marion E. Hay and his wife, Lizzie Livingston Muir Hay, were the first residents in the governor's home. The couple had five children. That year, the state legislature allowed a total of $21,000 to be spent on the mansion over the course of a biennium. $2,000 per year for upkeep, $15,000 for furniture, and $2,000 for landscaping. The contract for the furnishings was awarded to Frederick and Nelson of Seattle in May of 1909, and Lizzie Hay was in charge of selecting the pieces. By that December, the majority of the furniture had been installed and the bill had been settled. Even today, several of these artifacts, such as a massive grandfather clock, may be found in the mansion. In 1908, the State Building Commission selected Russell and Babcock to design the governor's residence, probably due to the fact that they were experienced and well-regarded in the capital city. Originally from India, Ambrose J. Russell had studied at the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris and had temporarily worked in Kansas City, Missouri, before settling in Tacoma in the 1890s and becoming a United States citizen. A series of short-lived partnerships in Tacoma preceded his formation of a collaboration with Everett Phipps Babcock in 1905. Babcock initially appeared in Tacoma as an assistant superintendent architect for the city of Tacoma during the construction of the Carnegie Public Library, which was located in the downtown business area. Russell and Babcock were responsible for the design of a substantial number of commercial, religious, and residential constructions across Tacoma, including five of the city's recognized landmark buildings, which were constructed between approximately 1902 and 1918 and are still standing. The Armory, the Frederick H. Murray House, the Pantages Theater Jones Building, the Perkins Building, and the Rutland and Woodstock Apartments are just a few of their Tacoma structures. On his own initiative, Ambrose J. Russell planned four more structures that were constructed between 1905 and 1927, including the William Ross Rust Residence, a Georgian mansion that was comparable in style to the governor's. Russell collaborated with colleagues on two additional Tacoma landmark projects, and the firm of Fay, Russell, and Babcock was responsible for the Masons building at the AYP in 1909. Over the years, the mansion's restorations were given a low level of importance. The passage of time and the earthquake of 1949 took their toll on the edifice. By the 1950s, legislators were seriously considering demolishing the existing building. Some people wanted to build a new office building on the property. A substantial restoration of the White House in Washington, D.C. was performed during the late 1950s, and the new First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy continued this work when she became First Lady in 1961, selecting furnishings from the time of the original building to bring the restoration to a close. Daniel J. Evans, his wife Nancy Bell Evans, and their two children moved into the governor's mansion in 1965. At this point in time, the building's condition had really worsened a lot in just the last decade. The debate over whether or not to demolish it had forced the postponement of much-needed maintenance. Despite this, members of the general public stopped by on a regular basis to pay a visit. After submitting a report to the Capitol Committee in July of 1966 on the condition of the mansion and being told to proceed with comprehensive plans for renovations, architect Ibsen A. Nelson of Nelson, Sabin, and Very was hired by the committee to design the mansion's interior. In addition to Governor Evans, Lieutenant Governor John H. Cherburg and Land Commissioner Burt L. Cole were members of the Capitol Committee. In September of 1966, the state signed an architectural agreement with Nelson, Sabin, and Very, and in July of 1967, bids for the construction project were solicited and awarded. However, because the bids came in significantly higher than anticipated, the committee decided to reconsider the possibility of building a new governor's mansion. It was agreed in December of 1967 that immediate repairs to the governor's mansion up to a total cost of $30,000 would be carried out, but that the restoration would not take place at the time. Nancy Evans began researching how to decorate and furnish the estate, and she tried to establish a private organization that would encourage the public's access to the structure as well as their admiration and understanding of it. In April of 1969, a small number of Washingtonians came together to start a nonprofit corporation known as Citizens Responsive to the Need for Improving State Properties. On the 30th of May, 1972, Nancy Evans organized a meeting at the mansion to discuss the need to refurnish and renovate the residence. This marked a significant step forward for the project. As a result of CRISP's evolution, the Foundation for the Preservation of the Governor's Mansion was established, with Loreen Gandy of Seattle acting as its chair. CRISP selected Gene Youngward's proposal as the basis for rehabilitating the inside of the mansion during its first annual meeting, which was held in November. With a development time of approximately 5 years, Youngward's design was responsive to the overall restoration goals of Nelson, Sabin, and Very, as well as the surrounding environment. Similar to how Jacqueline Kennedy redecorated the White House to commemorate the founding of the United States, Youngward requested furnishings and decorations that mirrored the founding of the state of Washington in the same manner. House Bill 704, titled State Buildings and Facilities Construction, was passed by the legislature in April of 1973, authorizing the issuance of $27 million in general obligation bonds. The State Capitol Commission retained policymaking authority, but the General Services Administration was tasked with administrative responsibilities. The funding finally became available as a result of this law. The restoration of the governor's mansion, which would also serve as a historical resource for the general public, could finally get underway that year. Although construction on the new structure began in May of 1974, it immediately became apparent that the initial $600,000 budgeted by the legislature would be insufficient when the contractors discovered major structural deficiencies that required them to expand the scope of the project. However, the work continued and the rehabilitation, which was carried out in accordance with Ibsen Nelson's design, was completed in 1975. With the construction of a new addition at the rear of the building, a more comfortable separation between family and public spaces was achieved. The majority of the first floor rooms had now been restored to their former glory. In the meantime, the foundation's work was well into its stride. During House Month in October of 1974, it was able to attract funds from all around the Evergreen State to assist with the furnishing and decorating of the mansion. According to Youngward's design, the public rooms were completed in time for the mansion's reopening in September of 1975, and the women of Olympia did not feel obligated to lend furnishings to complete the project this time around. During the Second World War, Jean Youngward relocated from Minnesota to Seattle as an army wife and remained there. She began her career at Frederick & Nelson's in Seattle, where she assisted customers in selecting furniture, rugs, and fabrics. Later on, she established her own company in Pioneer Square. Eventually, her reputation rose and she became known both locally and globally as Seattle's Queen of Design. Young Ward collaborated with Nancy Evans and Ibsen Nelson on the interior design of the governor's residence for a number of years before completing the project. She donated her time and energy to the foundation, assisting in the direction of commissions and the receipt of funds. She was the designer of many of the wall and floor coverings that are still in use to this day. Designer Lindsay Rowe has stated that the color and material palette of Young Ward was influenced by stone, pewter, steel, driftwood, and oyster shell. During the 1960s and 70s, Seattle architect Ibsen Nelson was a leading figure in the city's effort to save and rehabilitate historic buildings. From 1975 to 1982, he was heavily involved in the restoration of the Inn at the Market and the Stewart House, both of which are located in Seattle's historic Pike Place Market. He is also credited with the Merrill Court townhouses in Seattle's Harvard-Belmont historical area, as well as the old Museum of Flight. In 1989, the AIA awarded him the Seattle Medal, stating that Nelson had made significant contributions to the profession and had a deep respect for the natural and social landscape of the Pacific Northwest. By 1991, governor's residences had been built in 44 of the 50 U.S. states. A total of 18 states had established foundations or similar nonprofit organizations to assist with the furnishing and decorating of these dwellings. Washington was among the earliest to adopt this model, in fact. Since the 1950s, just 9 states have constructed or refurbished new governor's mansions or state capitol buildings. The Washington Governor's Mansion Foundation hosted a variety of unique activities in celebration of the mansion's centennial year. The governor's mansion is home to furnishings and art objects collected by the foundation, as well as the state's collection of silver objects and art borrowed from museums and galleries throughout the area. The main landing is still adorned with the big grandfather clock that Lizzie Hay first purchased. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss a new episode. Doing so really helps the show to grow and to expand to a new audience, so any help that you can give in that regard will be greatly appreciated. Sources for this episode include wagovmansion.org, thurstontalk.com, The Olympian, The Light in the Mansion, a collection of stories about First Ladies of the State of Washington and their families by Kathy Keating, The Pacific Builder and Engineer Journal, The Pacific Coast Architecture Database, HistoryLink.org, Washington's Audacious State Capitol and Its Builders by Norman Johnston, and The Seattle Times. Thank you for listening to Episode 132, The Governor's Mansion. Episode 133 will be released next week. A special thank you goes out to Alan Hirsch for providing the music for the podcast. If you have any questions about the show, please contact historyoftheevergreenstatepod@gmail.com. Thank you once again for listening to another episode of the History of the Evergreen State podcast. Until next week, I'm your host and producer, John C.
There's peace on the Skokomish, on the Queets, and on the whole. There's calm on the Nisqually, born of ageless ice and snow. A land that nature loves so much, she stays the whole year round. I trade a royal palace for a shack on Puget Sound. There's Chimicum and Stillicum, where spouts the gooey duck, the singing Stillaguamish and the swirling Skookumchuck, and Moklips and Copalis, where the razor clams abound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound. A little bit of heaven is a shack on Puget Sound.